You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3. Is it true?
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and we would be honored if you chose to come and worship with us, visit with us, and gather around, worship the King. It's been an exciting year so far. In fact, this coming Wednesday, which is tomorrow night, will be our last of our Fire Bible Discipleship classes. The following week, on the 19th, we're going to have a Fire Bible Discipleship graduation, and never done one of those before, but we're going to be doing that a week from tomorrow. So I just would like to ask you all, if you would, be praying for me today. I'll be having a medical procedure done, and then another one on Thursday. So if you would not forget to pray for me, that would be greatly appreciated. I'm not used to being the one getting the medical care. I'm used to being the one providing prayer for people who are undergoing medical care. So all prayers are greatly appreciated. Want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have any project that involves concrete, they would be a great resource for you to have a conversation with. I know someone who's used them multiple times. I know contractors that they refer to them as your concrete, my people, or my concrete people. And I know people right now who are have utilized them here in the past few weeks for a project that they have going on. We've used them at the church. We have used them at my house, and they just do a great job at a great value. And so I, Jits Concrete, their phone number there is 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. That gets you in touch with Greg. They have decades and decades of experience. They have a great deal of expertise, and they have a fantastic work ethic. And if that could be a benefit to you, 321-536-5804 may be a number that you want to have at your beck and call should you choose to check them out for your concrete needs. Today we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 5. We were here some time ago. God had laid Matthew 6:33 upon my heart when I was praying, God, where do you want us to go? And it said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That led to going through the Beatitudes. So we're not going to go all the way through the Sermon on the Mount here. That's already been done. But we are talking about the fact that Jesus was teaching the disciples. If you go back to verse number 2, then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then that dives right into the Beatitudes. Verse number 10 and 11 and 12 are where we're going to be today. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I can tell you that I don't enjoy persecution. I don't like disharmony. I don't like strife or discord. I don't like confrontation much at all. Doesn't mean that I can't do it, but I don't necessarily enjoy it. This word persecuted, it means to be pursued, it means to be persecuted, or it means to be pressed on or to be oppressed. And you and I need to realize that that can sometimes come with the territory of being a Christian. We are in the midst of a spiritual battle between holiness and sin. We are in a battle for the souls of mankind. We are representative, we are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are placed in an area where we need to represent the King. And darkness hates the light. Light overcomes the darkness. And so you and I can see that sometimes with a different value system, with a different moral standard, that you and I are going to face persecution. But instead of something to be dreaded, Jesus says that it is an indicator of being blessed. So, and again, you don't need to necessarily go out and find yourself a cause and say, okay, persecute me because of this. I believe if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to upset the devil's kingdom enough that if there's trouble, he will find you. You don't have to go looking for it. Now, the persecution is not because we should be doing things foolishly, that we should be doing things that are stupid. There is a specific qualifier that Jesus mentions here, and that is when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So it's not just because they didn't like the way you were driving or anything like that, but instead, this persecution is because you recognize that there is moral righteousness and there's legal justice, and you are going to take a stand for that which God would have you to take a stand for. When shifting standards are taking place, you need to remember that God and His Word remain the same. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His Word is settled forever on heaven and on earth. So I recently encountered a sermon that I heard a person preach, and they were trying to discount the Word of God. They were trying to qualify it and say, okay, this part carries greater weight than this part over here, where Jesus said not one jot or tittle would ever pass away from the Word of God. It is settled forever. There is not one passage that is more important than the other. There are people who have studied scriptures in the original language, and they find that the lettering in those studies has very, very important meaning. Not just that the word has meaning, but the letters have meaning, and that there is a frequency that occurs that is awe-inspiring, which makes it very much a reality that it's so complicated that no one could have done that by accident. So you and I, we need to remember that the Word of God is the standard. A lot of people today want to make it a standard of convenience instead of a standard of covenant. And so if you are persecuted for doing the right thing, it's not something to be dreaded. It is something to rejoice over. And so I can remember hearing of Christians in areas of the world where persecution is part of their daily life. It's not theoretical. It is not possible. It is an ever-present reality. And their mindset is so different from what that of Christianity in America is, where is I just want everybody to like me, and I just want to represent people. Well, and I understand those thoughts. I like people to like me too. But they said, don't take our persecution away from us. Because when the enemy is pressing and pursuing and persecuting you, that means that you are running right into the arms of Jesus, that the more they press on you from the outside, the more he is pressing on you from the inside, that you realize that after everything is said and done, you have an eternity that is going to be awaiting you that is greater than any reality that you could experience here on this earth. So I was reading here a few weeks ago about a person, that an individual who had never met them just set out to make them miserable and unhappy. They used their influence, and even though they had never met this individual, they just targeted them and said, okay, well, let's create a little bit of uncomfort for this person. But this person has a relationship with Christ. And so what they did was they set out to pray for this individual. And not just on occasion, they set out to pray for them on a daily basis. And they continued to pray for them and to continue to pray for them. And not only did they pray for them, but when they had the opportunity, they were proactive in representing not a cruel or a retribution style response. Instead, they responded with kindness, and it made a difference in the person's life, to where they stopped the pressure. They realized that there was something different, because they acknowledged that they had been nothing but mean and cruel, and this person responded with kindness, and it caught them unawares. So you and I, we have the ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to respond to negative actions by those who don't understand us, and we can rejoice in that, because it says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's not something that will be ours, okay? Blessed are those who are persecuted. So that's either a past tense or a present tense. It would be more of a present tense. For righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't mean that it's something that's just going to take place in the future. It states a present reality. And wherever the kingdom is, the authority of the king exists. Wherever the authority of the king exists, you and I can look to him, look to the throne, and know that no matter what happens, he's going to work things out for our control, for our benefit. So a few weeks ago, there was a missions agency, and they were ministering in a world that I've been to. And they were there to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. And they gave their life on that mission field. And the people that they were trying to help, people who didn't want them to help, ended up, attacking them, and it ended up killing multiple people. And that's tragic. That is hard for us to imagine, but it is a very present reality. It can happen. So while you may not notice the stories that make headlines about what could happen with pastors and their ministries, very few of them that make national headlines go unnoticed by me. You know, they're there was a pastor, he was out mowing the church lawn, and somebody came up, this was several years ago, and that guy had preached his last sermon. While he was on a riding mower, he was ushered into the presence of God. Those things are very, very difficult. There are people who target churches for attack and things like that. But I want to remind you, Jesus said that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The Assemblies of God set out in 1914 to be the greatest evangelistic agency that the world had ever seen. And when we sent out those first few dozen missionaries, a lot of times they packed their belongings in their caskets knowing that they would be coming back inside of that. And so they were willing to take the good news to the ends of the earth, and whatever happened to them physically was they were okay. So verse number 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So again, I want to point out to you, when they revile you, that means that they are mocking you, they're reproaching you, they're insulting you. By the way, one more thing about righteousness' sake up there in verse number 10, the antonym of that in the Greek is lawlessness. Okay, so if you want to put, blessed are those who are persecuted for standing up for God's law's sake, you could put it that way if that helps you to understand it a little bit better. It is the opposite of lawlessness, and we are seeing in our society a greater intensity in lawlessness. Lawlessness used to be a thing that I would only hear about when I was reading through the Word of God. Now we hear about lawlessness that is taking place. That term is being used in news outlets and news articles and things like that. It's no longer just a spiritual aspect, but it is a very present reality around the world and even here in America. So if people are mocking you, insulting you, saying all kinds of things about you on top of persecution and doing all kinds of evil against you, and here's the thing. It needs to be falsely. So there should be an adjusted lifestyle, a whole new way of living that comes from our putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So if we are living the way that God wants us to live and people are persecuting us and they're saying things about us, they need to be making those accusations in a manner that it has no credibility. So make sure that your confession of faith and your lifestyle of faith reflect Jesus' life as much as is possible for those of us. Because it says, against you falsely for my sake. So I want to help put things in perspective for you. And that is, if you can picture yourself a fulcrum, a scale where things are weighed and balanced and things like that, and so that which is heavier ends up going down and leading the indication that is the side that has prevailed, or so when you are calculating whether or not to do something, picture that fulcrum, that scale, and put it, how would this represent Jesus? I'm not just simply saying, what would Jesus do? I want you to look at it and say, how's this going to bring glory to God? How is this going to open the eyes of those who are spiritually blinded by the enemy? You see, it's not just the pastor. It's not just the Sunday school teacher. It's not the worship leaders and the church leaders and those who help out. No, there's a great deal of potential for kingdom growth that comes from every single solitary believer. So I was at our district council. It was not quite a month ago, and was having a conversation with one of my friends, someone I've known for a long time. And he was talking with a young person that was not a Christian, and they were struggling because the person that was their roommate had identified themselves as a Christian, but they were not living like they had been delivered from the world. And so there was a confusion. There was a spiritual confusion on the part of this unbeliever. Then this person says they're a believer, but they're not living anything like the way that I would expect Jesus to have lived. And my friend had to explain to them, look, just because they have made that statement does not mean that their life is necessarily lined up with the Word of God yet. And I know that some places try and oversimplify it and things like that. There needs to be a transformation that takes place in our lives where old things pass away and all things are made new. It doesn't mean that we are perfect, but there ought to be a completely different change in the way that we currently live than the way that we used to live. So what do we do? Verse number 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So let me talk about this persecution just a little bit more. It is something that took place for Old Testament prophets. It was something that took place for John the Baptist. It was something that took place for most of the disciples. It was something that took place for Jesus. It is something that has taken place throughout history. In fact, there are more people who have been martyred for the cause of Christ in the last 120 years than in all of the history of mankind altogether. So persecution is something that happens. And if you know that you're not the only one who has experienced it or is experiencing it, it can sometimes bring some comfort. I remember hearing a story of two people who were slated for martyrdom. And they had made an agreement that whichever one of them was martyred first, that they would respond during the process of their martyrdom in such a way that the other person could hear them of whether or not it was worth standing their ground for faith in Jesus Christ. And the first person was being brutally tortured, and the cry came out, was it worth it? And he said, it is worth it. So you and I, we can rejoice and be exceedingly glad, not necessarily because of the pain and the suffering and the heartache and all that we may be going through, but we can say that it is worth it because great is your reward in heaven. Paul experienced many heartaches, many, many painful encounters throughout his life, shipwrecked numerous times, thrown to wild beasts, stoned, beaten with rods, thrown in jail a number of times, and many times against what he was entitled to as a citizen of Rome. He went through all of that. And eventually he was martyred, and he described the inconveniences and the pains and the suffering of this life as light and momentary afflictions. Never mistake that which is temporary for something that is permanent, because the temporary difficulties that we challenge or that are challenges in our life cannot deprive us of the reward that we have in heaven. So a lot of times we focus on the reward in heaven as the glassy sea, that there's no more tears, you know, there's streets paved with translucent gold. Some people focus on the mansions. Excuse me. Some people focus on no more mortgage, no more debt, no more bills, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more death. A lot of things like that. But God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. I'll be honest with you. I'm not looking for a crown. I know that the Bible promises those. What I'm looking for, the thing about heaven that really makes heaven worth it, is being in the presence of Jesus and being able to worship him the way that he deserves to be worshiped, to be able to never grow weary or grow tired, the schedule never pressing in on the activities of life to, you know, make me have to shift my focus to something else. I want you to know that no matter how bad things get in this world, it's not worth missing heaven over. And just like the way that the devil treated Job, thinking that if he reached out and touched his belongings, surely he would deny God. And Job said no. If he reached out and touched his family, if he reached out and touched Job in his body, if his friends, his comforters, became confronters instead of comforters, surely that would cause him to, and Job said, no, I will not. I will continue to press on. I will continue to focus on Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you to, if you are going through difficulties because of the gospel, you need to be conducting yourself in a manner that represents Jesus well. But if there are negative encounters and people begin to pursue you, to persecute you, to oppress you, because of that, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Yours is the kingdom of heaven, and great is your reward in heaven. And so, praise God, the enemy cannot deprive us of that which God has in store for us. You have a blessed day. Once again, if you wouldn't mind praying for me, I'd appreciate it. And we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh
Radio
Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides